all the planning commissioners to stand as we call to order and invite everybody to join us in a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So we'll go ahead and start with a roll call of the Planning Commission. Can the city clerk, Linda Gregory, lead us in that?
Commissioner Fullerton?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Chair Maynard?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, so now we'll go into the public forum section. Before we begin the public forum, I'd like to let the public know what to expect and how to share comments tonight. This meeting is being conducted utilizing teleconferencing and electronic means consistent with State of California Executive Order 929 or N2920, dated March 17th, 2020, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The live stream of the meeting may be viewed on the television and/or online at the city's website. In accordance with Executive Order 92920, the public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and/or online and not in the council chamber. The City of Goleta encourages and welcomes public participation during this time and have provided public participation through the following options: public comment submitted to the city clerk and distributed to the Planning Commission, public comment received via email and requested to be read into the record so long as it does not exceed the 3-minute time limit, and public comment for those that wish to join the meeting electronically or via telephone. All of the above referenced ways to participate and or watch are provided on the agenda and on the city's website. At this time, do we have any, and so at this time, as part of the public forum, we'll accept comments on anything that is not on tonight's agenda. Ms. Gregory, do we have any public comment on items not on the agenda tonight?
Would any attendee who wants to speak on an item that is not on today's agenda please click on the hand raise icon now? And Chair Maynard, there are no public speakers.
I believe we received one public comment letter. Will that be read in tonight, or is that just for us via email?
We were not requested to read it into the record, Chair Maynard. Okay.
All right, so let's go ahead to amendments or adjustments to the agenda. Director Imhoff, are there any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Madam Chair, we have no amendments or adjustments.
Okay. So from there, we'll go ahead into the administrative agenda. Ms. Gregory, can you read item A1 into the record?
A1 is approval of the Planning Commission meeting minutes of December 14, 2020.
Are there any corrections or comments on the meeting minutes from any of our planning commissioners tonight? Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of December 14th?
I'll move to approve the minutes of December 14th.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Great. Ms. Gregory, can you lead us in a roll call vote of those planning commission meeting minutes?
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Chair Maynard?
Aye. With a unanimous vote, those pass. We will now go on to our discussion action item, item B. Ms. Gregory, can you read that into the record?
Yes, item B is the General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan 2020 Progress Report.
Wonderful. And Ms. Wells, will you be starting us on the presentation tonight?
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Chair Maynard and Planning Commissioners. Tonight's item is our annual General Plan Progress Report for 2020. If you recall from previous years, state law requires that we submit an annual progress report to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, or it's easier said, OPR. That acronym, and also to another State Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD. And the reports are due by to the state by April 1st of each year. So that's why that the timing is always important to get to the Planning Commission so we can take your recommendation to the City Council and turn the report around and get it up to the state before April 1st. The purpose of the report is to provide not only the state, but also the city decision makers and our community with an update on our general plan. And the progress report includes a description of any amendments that were made to the plan, as well as describing the city's progress in implementing specific policies or actions called for within the plan. As you may know, if you read the report carefully, but we do have a summary in this presentation, a key component of the report centers around housing and the documentation of our regional housing needs allocation or RENA progress. And the RENA progress summary allows the city to demonstrate to the state how well we are doing in meeting our regional housing need allocation numbers, and that's all for affordable housing. And that housing section of the report also tracks and reports other types of housing construction that occurred over the year. So it's the calendar year for 2020. And our presentation kind of breaks that down and highlights some of the high points of implementing our policies and actions, and then also on the housing. And Andy Newkirk is giving you the presentation this year. So I'll just turn over. There he is. Go ahead, Andy.
Thanks, Ann, and Chair Maynard and Planning Commissioners. So we'll start off, as the report does, with a little summary of where we are with the general plan itself. In 2020, there were no general plan amendments adopted by City Council. We have a process to initiate general plan amendments prior to processing, and there are three general plan amendments that were initiated in 2020 that included Conservation Element Policy 2.2, known as the Stream Site Protection Areas Policy, and then also two land use designation changes for individual sites at 5631 Cai Real and 625 Dar Road. It's not included in the report, but that 5631 Cai Real land use general plan amendment was approved early in 2021, so that will show up in next year's report. We also had three pending general plan amendments from years prior that are still outstanding, and those are for Shelby for land use and Kenwood for land use, and those are for residential projects, our land use designation changes, and then also Heritage Ridge, which is a residential project for ESHA designation and the conservation and open space elements. So a lot of the report goes through the different, where we stand with the different implementation actions. They're found at the end of each element within the general plan, except for the housing element, which is structured slightly differently. The first implementation action you'll come across in that general plan is to prepare and adopt a new zoning code that's in the land use element. And as you're all aware, that was completed in 2020. So that was a kind of a huge accomplishment towards general plan implementation. It's called out, if you look through the report, in almost all elements have some implementation that required the zoning code adoption. So that project satisfied many implementations within the general plan. And there was also cleanup amendments. So the Title 17 was adopted in March, and there are cleanup amendments as well in October as we continue to refine and improve the process as we have begun implementing. Within the open space element, one of the implementation actions that was completed in 2020 was the preparation of a park system master plan that was adopted by council in January. And since then, there was some work done on prioritization of implementation for that plan. So moving forward, that will be an important tool as we look to improve our parks and open space. Kind of a similar project related to conservation is the implementation CEIA-3 for a creek and watershed management plan. Extensive work was done on that project in 2020 that resulted in adoption in November of last year. And similar to the Parks Master Plan, the follow-up that's beginning now is really prioritization and looking at how to implement that plan. In the safety element, one of the actions that is required every year are annual oil and gas safety audits. So that was completed in September 2020. That includes inspection of the oil and gas facilities out in Elwood. Just a note as well, the Platform Holly plugging and abandonment planning is in progress, and more will come of that in the coming years as well. And that is led by the state in terms of the environmental review and planning for that. In the visual historic resources element, one implementation action where extensive work was done in 2020 was the action itself calls for the creation of a historic preservation committee. But as you're all aware, that project is broader than that, including the regulations and the identification of historic resources. And as you all know, Planning Commission hearings began in 2020. So since that's in progress, we'll just highlight that that is getting towards the finish line in 2020 and will be in 2021. The transportation element, one of the primary focuses in implementation of the transportation element is maintaining a capital improvement program and budget. And so last year, the CIP included 57 projects in the five-year budget, the total cost of approximately $192 million, some of which is unfunded, but it gives you an idea of just the scope and significance of all the CIPs that are being managed and throughout the city. One implementation action in the transportation element that was completed in 2020 was an update to the CEQA thresholds for transportation impacts. And that was a conversion from the level of service analysis to vehicle miles traveled. So that was those updated thresholds were adopted earlier mid-2020 and will be implemented when projects move forward in the future. Also just kind of want to highlight, there's quite a bit of work done in construction and in planning for projects in Old Town in particular. One project that was completed in late 2020 was the Old Town Sidewalk project, which is a really significant project in Old Town that came in under budget and ahead of schedule and was done through, you know, the construction was done during COVID. So the challenges there were pretty significant, and Public Works was able to get that project completed. So that was a real success story in 2020. In the housing element, there's a lot of implementations. I'm not going to go through all of them in the presentation. Really want to focus on here is the housing development. And so HE 5.1 calls for us to monitor housing element programs. And obviously, as Anne mentioned, this report requires us to report on housing units. And you'll see in the report, tables 2 and 3 denote projects that received final inspection, which is essentially certificate of occupancy, which housing units that are ready to be lived in. And in 2020, we saw 207 total units that had received that final inspection, a few moderate deed restricted units at the Winslow, and then several ADUs, which fall into low, moderate, and above moderate. And we don't have deed restrictions for the ADUs, but we record them based on expected rent. We ask applicants to provide us with their expected rent when they submit for building permits. And we try to keep track of that. And if the expected rent falls within what would be deemed affordable to, you know, very lower moderate income household, we count those units within those classifications. So again, 207 total units went online in 2020. When we report in table 4 in the report, which is for, you know, how we're meeting our RENA, it's the methodology is a little bit different than we've had in years past. So these numbers might seem, you know, if you look back to previous reports that we presented to Planning Commission, a little bit different. We worked with HCD last year to update our methodology. Typically, we reported these in this table based on final inspections, but it's their preference and what they would like to see uniform across the state is reporting based on building permit issuance. What that means is essentially the start of construction. So when they're able to break ground, not when the unit is habitable for the new resident. So it counts units earlier, but it doesn't actually change the end result. It's just which you count things in. So what it led to is an increase in the total number of units we've counted in this housing cycle. But again, it's just because we counted some units that are under construction. And you'll see in a subsequent slide, there's quite a few units under construction right now that we've already now counted that are reflected in previous years. So in 2020, we have a total of 18 units, 13 low and 5 above moderate. Those are all ADUs. And I believe 17 out of the 18 of them went straight to the building permit. Only one required a land use permit, and that was under a previous ADU ordinance. So we're seeing those go straight to building. The low income units, again, as I mentioned before, we don't do deed restrictions on the ADUs. That's not part of our regulations. It's not part of an inclusionary policy to apply deed restrictions on ADUs. So that count of 13 low income for ADUs in 2020 is based on the rents applicants provided to us, and based on a calculation of affordability based on that rent and the number of bedrooms that ADU provides. So that's how we calculated those numbers. So in total, kind of a housing element summary or housing unit summary, we had the 207 units completed in 2020, which you'll see in tables 2 and 3. There's approximately 235 units at the end of the year that were under construction but not yet completed. So we counted these in that RENA table, but not in tables 2 and 3. They'd be counted most of them next year. The largest batch is at Cortona, which is a 176 unit residential project. There's also 450 units in the planning process, approximately. The three biggest, we already mentioned, they all require general plan amendments, but the Heritage Ridge project, which is, if we were in City Hall, I could point and say just up the street, next to Willow Springs 1 and 2, and across from Villa Los Caneros. And then the Shelby and Kenwood projects, which are kind of longstanding projects that are on hold because of water availability. So that's really the summary of the housing. The overall implementation highlights, as you mentioned, there's been no general plan amendments adopted in 2020, although one early in 2021, and three general plan amendments were initiated. The new zoning ordinance was adopted. We had a parks, facilities, and playgrounds master plan and a creek and watershed management plan adopted. We updated the CEQA thresholds for VMT. Quite a bit of activity in the CIP. Of CIP projects in planning, engineering, and construction for within Old Town and other places within the community. So with that, that's again really high level. We're happy to answer any questions. We can't summarize everything in the report or we'd be here all night, but we're happy to kind of touch on anything that you would like us to. And what we're asking PC to take action on is to adopt a resolution essentially recommending to City Council approval of the annual progress report, and as part of that approval, they would be authorizing staff to submit the document to the state agencies that we must report to. So again, with that, we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Chair Maynard and commissioners, I also want to just emphasize the point that planning is giving this presentation to you, and we put the report together and do the administrative part of transmitting it to the state, but obviously, it's a City Hall effort to implement the general plan, and we're just really the messengers. And I wanted to emphasize that the report for staff is kind of a unifying work, because we get to talk to so many people at City Hall, and there's a lot of pride that's taken in that. When we really put it's not everything that we do at City Hall, but it's everything that all the implementation actions in the general plan. So that said, we're here to answer your questions and hope we can answer well for the other departments.
All right, are there any questions from the Planning Commission? All right, Ms. Fullerton, Commissioner Fullerton.
Hi, I just had one question about the ADUs and how most of them are under being affordable. Is there anything that is stopping the owners of the homes from increasing the rents a year from now, and then those won't be affordable anymore?
Yeah, Commissioner Fullerton, no. Even them providing the rent is a voluntary request on our part, just to provide that data so we can do that assessment, but they're not in any way bound to that. I mean, they're not bound to it from day one. We're just trying to do the best we can to report accurately and just hope for a good faith information, and then from there it's out of, like, we can't control it after that.
So basically whatever they, oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Go for it.
Just quick follow-up. So whatever basically we are indicating in this report for 2020, that's the number that sticks going forward?
That's right. Yeah, we won't go back and revisit those assumptions. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner Fullerton? Okay. I guess I have a follow-up question on that one because it was an interesting point. Do we only report on the ADUs that voluntarily provided the rent data, or do we use that data to extrapolate to the other ADUs?
Yeah, that's, Chairman, you're getting into the weeds here. We do extrapolate out, yeah. So we ask for it, and then essentially what we do is where we don't have rent provided or an estimated rent, we take what the data we do have. So we take, like, all the rents provided for studios, and we calculate an average studio rent. And then we assume the studios that haven't provided us rent information, we just assume the average. So I think with the studios, it was 1300 something. For the one bedrooms, it was 1400 something. The two bedrooms, there's only like two data points, and one of them was really expensive. So they're always going to be above moderate until we have more data. But we apply that average we put that into the calculator, and we'll apply whatever kind of comes out for those that didn't provide us with rent estimates.
Sharon, commissioners, if I could just add to that, in doing these calculations and in taking this approach to assessing ADU affordability, we're following the state guidance, and this is very much an emerging area. Many jurisdictions around the state are looking at how they can and should assess ADUs to meet their affordability requirements. And so this is something that may well evolve. State HCD did publish guidance just recently, I think in the last month, that we're looking at and following. And we've, of course, been in consultation with housing and community development staff as we look ahead to the next RENA cycle and our housing element update. So this is very much cutting edge.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mr. Newkirk and Director Imhoff, for going in the weeds with us. I think it's fascinating information to learn more about this, especially since this is such a new area for us. Another RENA question real quick. In the above moderate category, we have no remaining above moderate units that we have to build as part of the RENA. We have the areas that we really need to build out are in the lower income categories. Do we still get points in our RENA for additional above moderate, since we've already hit the goals in the above moderate section? So that was kind of my question. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, and one of the ways the state looks at how we're meeting our RENA is for streamlining provisions. Mm-hmm. And so because we're meeting our above moderate target, kind of the threshold for, like, how much of the project has to be affordable for before streamlining is raised. At this point, it's not going to raise any more because we've far exceeded the above moderate. So in that way, no, we don't get like any like credit for that.
Yeah. So, but because we're not getting like, so if we got double the amount of above moderates we needed, but we didn't get the other categories, would those other streamlining provisions, for example, kick in because we hadn't done the moderate and the low income components?
A certain threshold of streamlining already kicks in because we're not kind of on pace to meet those lower income groups. Like, it's not going to change any, with any like more above moderate or anything. Like, kind of where we're at is probably where we're going to stay for this cycle.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Newkirk. I had one very small edit. In the historic preservation ordinance section, we talked about how we continued the meeting to January 25th, but that meeting was canceled. And I think we're moving to a different time period. Do we need to change the reference to the January 25th meeting in that part of the report?
We could, I think we can go either way on that. If you'd like to add in a correction, I think in 2020, that was accurate because it was technically continued within 2021. But if you'd like to include that, you know, we can certainly make that correction or update for the city council report.
It's a small cleanup just for consistency and accuracy, but I don't see it as a major issue, just a small correction. It is on page 33, if that's useful for reference. Any other questions from Commissioner Fullerton or Commissioner Smith?
Oh, I didn't know if now's an appropriate time to make a comment, maybe not a question, but.
Hold for 1 second. Okay. Is there any public comment tonight on this agenda item?
Would any attendee who wants to speak on this item please click on the hand raise icon now? And Chair Maynard, there are no public speakers.
With no public speakers, we'll wrap up the public comment portion and move on to deliberation. Commissioner Smith, do you have any comments in deliberation?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for keeping me on track. I just want to say I always really enjoy seeing this report for the reasons Anne mentioned. It's such a summary of all the things that have been happening citywide. And I think it is really incredible to see what's been happening, so for city staff, for the council. I mean, I think, I remember looking at this a few years ago and it was like, oh, well, we still hadn't gotten to the creeks management plan, or, there were still definitely some outstanding items. And it's really great to see some of that being implemented. It's also very apparent that while certain aspects of our RENA were certainly meeting just fine, it certainly does show that affordable housing remains an ongoing challenge for our city and many other jurisdictions. And so it's so stark to actually see it laid out. And with our water restrictions, I'm not sure what opportunities in the next few years we'll have to address some of that. But that said, really enjoyed seeing the overall report, and thanks for all the hard work on it.
Commissioner Fullerton, do you have any final comments?
Yeah, I echo what Commissioner Smith said. This was my first year as a planning commissioner, so it was my first time reading this report, and I was really impressed with the level of detail and just how clearly it was laid out, all the categories and what the city's done to address all those things, especially reading with all the impacts of COVID and seeing what the city's done in terms of helping people with COVID and the numbers of I guess people and businesses that the city's been able to help. That was really great to see because I hadn't seen it quantified that way. So yeah, I just appreciate the effort, and I don't have a lot of comments about it other than to say well done.
Oh, I will echo what both of my fellow commissioners just shared, and won't repeat it just for efficiency. But I do just want to say, wow, a huge congratulations for so much accomplished in the middle of COVID. This was a very, very difficult year. And on top of that, to see all of the great accomplishments of the past year is very inspiring. So that's a huge thank you to the whole city on that. With that, let's go ahead and see if there's a motion. Would anybody like to make a motion? Oh, and I will close the public hearing and accept motions.
All right, I'll do my best to move here. I will make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending to the City Council approval of the General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan Progress Report for submittal to the Governor's Office and Planning and Research and California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Can I get a second?
I will second.
All right. Ms. Gregory, can you lead us in a roll call vote?
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Chair Maynard?
Aye. With a unanimous vote, we pass that along to City Council. With that, we'll go ahead and move on. Thank you, Mr. Newkirk, and thank you, Ms. Wells, for your excellent presentation tonight. Let's go ahead and move on to the director's report. Director Imhoff, do you have any updates for us?
I do indeed, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. A few things to note. First off, the February 22nd Planning Commission meeting will be canceled, and our next meeting will be on March 8th. I am pleased to say that at that point, I believe we will have a full complement on the commission. The council is scheduled to ratify the mayor's appointments to the commission, including new appointments of Sam Ramirez and Alfred Smith to the Planning Commission, and they should be seated by then the 8th. And the mayor also reappointed the three sitting commissioners, the three of you. So we should have, again, a full commission by our next meeting. Other items coming up of note: on Thursday evening this week, on February 11th at 6 p.m., we'll hold a stakeholder meeting for the pending in-lieu fee study, housing in-lieu fee study. You can get more information about that from Jay Ritterbeck or from our zoning counter. The information is on our website to contact them. The same evening, there will also be a council workshop on the city's strategic plan beginning at 5 p.m. Then another date of note, on March 11th, the Planning Department's annual work program workshop will be held before the City Council beginning at 5 p.m. That is the document that programs our work efforts for the next year in all divisions, and we look forward to getting public input and feedback on what lies ahead for us. Finally, on the housing topic, I wanted to note that the Santa Barbara County Association of Governments has received its final RENA number for the next cycle of 24,856. That's down almost 4,500 or 15% from the initial draft number of 29,313 that SBCAG originally received. And at its last meeting on February 4th, the Technical Planning Advisory Committee to the SBCAG Board did recommend unanimously to accept that number onto the SBCAG Board. So we're getting closer to a final RENA number for the city of Goleta, which will, of course, then initiate the time period within which we have to update our housing element, and is, of course, very relevant to the future work of the Planning Commission. That concludes my director's report this evening.
A quick question. Do we have any updates on the historical and cultural preservation ordinance and next steps for that?
Yes, Madam Chair. There were a couple of bumps along the way, including, unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, the consultant, or rather sub-consultant archaeologist, was needed to step down from the project. And so it took us a little while. We're identifying a replacement who can assist us with that. But we expect to bring back the ordinance on March 8th at the Planning Commission's next meeting. So we'll continue our work on that ordinance and look forward to the continued discussion.
And will we focus on the cultural side on March 8th?
I don't know yet whether we'll be in a position to focus on the cultural side or mm-hmm. whether we'll go back and bring back to you the revised historic preservation component with your feedback. That remains to be determined.
Thank you so much, Director Imhoff. Was there any other questions from other planning commissioners? Okay. Are there any planning commission comments? Yes, Commissioner Smith.
The only thing I wanted to briefly say, I think I didn't get a chance to say it last meeting. I did want to express my thank you to the outgoing commissioners for all the work that they did with the commission. And so just wanted to take an opportunity to express that. And assuming the council proceeds as expected, to also look forward to welcoming our new commissioners as well.
I send my congratulations to past Commissioner Fuller for his new position. And I'm also very appreciative of the work that our past commissioners have completed. Any other Planning Commission comments? All right. So now we will go on to adjournment. Can I get a motion for adjournment?
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Ms. Gregory, can you lead us in a roll call vote for adjournment?
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Chair Maynard?
Aye. And the meeting is now adjourned.
Yourself up, or dust yourself off.